Welcome to another message about the life of Muhammad and the history of religion. The last class we talked about the world that Muhammad was born in. And we're going to go back into that a little bit further. Islam accepts most of the prophets of the Bible, the Old Testament prophets, that is Adam and Moses and Jesus, Abraham, as prophets. We look back in history, the history of religion, and we know that Muhammad was born. Look, if you're looking at this little map here, Muhammad was born in 570 AD. So to go back and find out what kind of a world Muhammad lived in and where he was born, what happened? We look all the way back into the history of what we call of mankind. The Bible, I believe, is the Word of God, totally plenary, what we call inspiration, complete inspiration. It was inspired by God. Now, Muhammad said that the Bible was corrupted and that you couldn't trust anything that the Scripture said because it was corrupted. If we go back and look at the Bible and find out what's going on in the world, the history of the Bible is valid. I want you to understand that. The history of the Bible is valid. Adam really lived. You can go do your DNA and you're going to find it going right back to Adam. It's going to go back there. It's going to go right exactly where he lived. If you study archaeology and geography, science, you're going to find out that all of these truisms actually are true on all levels. The Bible says that the earth is round and that it has a circuit and that the earth travels in this circuit of the whole of all the stars and all of our galaxy. And God, and it says that God framed the whole world and placed the earth exactly in the right place. That's scientifically and historically correct. We study, we see. Now, the Bible teaches that man has original sin through Adam. Because Adam sinned, the Bible teaches that all men are sinners, and that sin is transmitted from one person to the other by the blood of the father. The mother's blood does not go in the child. The father's blood goes in the child. The woman does not pass on the sin nature to man. The Bible teaches scientific facts that we don't even think about, that didn't even know about back then. A child is circumcised on the eighth day. Scientifically and medically, that's when the blood clotting is in its greatest state in a child. Before or after, it's different. But right then on the eighth day, God said to circumcise the children of Abraham on the eighth day. The Bible says the earth is round. The Bible says that the earth was created with land on one side and water on the other side. The Bible also says that when the earth was Pangaea, like that there were There was corruption on the earth, horrible corruption. The book of Enoch says, in Genesis the 6th chapter, says that it was terribly evil, that there was a combination of angels and mankind with other creatures that brought forth monstrosities on this earth. And that the intent of man's heart was evil, running to and fro, constantly trying to figure out how to do things worse and more evil way. God called Noah, and Noah was supposed to build an ark, and he did build an ark. Now, I'm talking all about this stuff because we're going to deal with it in the Quran when we get there. And Muhammad's ideas of creation and Noah and Adam and all of this. We're going to see that as we do that. We're going to see the verses come down and why they came down. I'm telling you the foundation of science and the Bible first. And what kind of a world was Muhammad born into? Now the flood came. Muhammad talks about the flood, talks about Noah. The only thing about Muhammad, he says the earth is flat and there are seven of them. The Bible does not agree with that. But we're going to find out why Muhammad said the earth was flat. We're going to figure that out. Why did he say that? Now, God sent flood on the earth, and all animals, all mammals, land mammals, and mankind, and beasts of everything kind were all drowned. And then after that, we have the formation of human government under Noah. And one of the foundations of that is that if a man kills another man, that his life shall be forfeited because of that. You have to protect people from people. If a government doesn't protect people from people, then the government is a failure. The government has to establish capital punishment and penal discouragements. In other words, people that aren't quite so bad that they need to be killed, executed, there need to be some way to penally correct them so they can go out into society again and behave. That's the whole foundation of human government. Well, they were supposed to spread and multiply, and mankind did not do that. Nimrod built a great tower that reached up high into the atmosphere. We don't know how high, but it was high. And it was finished. It wasn't being built. It was finished. It's finished, according to the Hebrew Bible. And the Quran talks about all of these different kinds of things. We find out that the languages were confused at this period of time, because mankind was evil again in all of his intent. And they were beginning to make slaves of people. Slavery was invented. One world government was invented. And it was contrary to the edicts of God. So God confused the languages there at the Tower of Babel, and people went where they were, where they could understand each other. Many languages. There's like 2,796 different language groups or something in the world. So they went where they could understand each other. And then God, it says in the days of Peleg, God divided the earth. So there's how we got continents. How did the American Indian get over here in the Americas? He was here when God divided the earth. What about the lost continent of Atlantis? It's here. This is it. When the earth divided, this part of the earth slid over the horizon, and they thought that Atlantis fell in the water, disappeared. Now, maybe some cities did underwater after that, but the earth was divided. If you take your globe, which I was going to bring in here, but I forgot to do that, you can see how the earth was together at one time, Pangaea, or Gondwana. Well, all of this, Muhammad has answers for. The earth is flat, and God made mountains to hold the ground down, or else it would blow away. is in the Quran, in the Hadith and the Sunnahs. By the way, the Quran, according to Islam, is the direct words of Allah. The Sunnahs are what Muhammad practiced, and the Hadith, or the Ahadith, plural, are what he said about the Quran and about life. Now we have religions. We have a false religion right here. We have a false religion over here. We have the languages divided and confused. And then we have Abraham born. Abraham was supposed to go in the land of Canaan. Now Muhammad has Abraham going to Arabia and building the Kaaba, or rebuilding the Kaaba. We'll get into that later. The Islamic scholars say the Kaaba always existed, where the right hand of Allah came down out of heaven and landed. And we're going to study about how that worship began with 360 plus gods around the Kaaba stone. But we're still back in the days that he said that Abraham and Isaac built the, or not Isaac, but Ishmael built the Kaaba. That Ishmael was the son that Abraham offered. And the Bible tells the opposite story. We see that God called out Abraham, told him to go into the land of Canaan. He went down in Egypt, and he wandered around in the land of Canaan for a long, long time. And he had Ishmael first, and then he had Isaac. The Quran talks about Ishmael and Isaac. Simple as that. But Ishmael was a promised son. Now we have Isaac born, we have Jacob, which became Israel, and we have Esau. And then we have Abraham marrying another woman, Keturah, and she has sons, and she is a Japhethite, by the way. Hagar was a Hamite, and Sarai was a Shemite. So we have all three races that Abraham is the father of. Now, the Arab culture and the Arab people came from Ishmael, they came from Esau, and they came from Keturah's children, Joktan especially, one of them. All of these populated the Arab, or became the Arab nations. That's where they came from. Now, Ibn Ishaq, in his book on Muhammad, traces Muhammad all the way back to Adam in his book. And by the way, this is the earliest written account of Muhammad and the Quran. Even the Quran was not actually in existence when this book came out. They supposedly had Qurans, but we have no historical evidence of a Quran being in print before the life of Muhammad by Ibn Ishaq. Now, Ibn Ishaq was a believer, and he called Muhammad the Apostle of God. So this is not anti-Islamic at all. And he tells the truth about Muhammad's life. We can find even more in history about where Muhammad came from and his ancestors. And we will look at that to some degree. Now, Jacob has 12 sons. And the 12 sons of Jacob are warring with these Canaanite and Arab tribes. We find out that a whole city, Shechem, was converted and circumcised, and two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, went in there and murdered everybody and stole everything they had and took their wives or children and killed all the men. Took their cattle, everything that they had, after they had become converts to marry Dinah, Jacob's daughter. Jacob was extremely mad. According to historical sources, there was a war between the Canaanite, what we call the Canaanite, and Israeli war. Over 100,000 people died because of what those boys did. This is history. The Bible talks about it a little bit, but history tells more about it in the book of Jasher. Now, another thing as we come along here, Israel was taken out of Egypt by Moses, Moshe. It means to draw out. Now, Moses had many names. You can find those names in the book of Jasher also. Everybody had named him a different name. But Pharaoh's daughter called him Moshe, to draw out or to rescue. And Moses did rescue his people out of Egypt. Now, the Quran talks about Moses, Moshe, and all the things that he did, and how he fought different groups of people and all kinds of things that were, well, for one thing, one of the biggest problems was the Samaritans. According to Muhammad, the Samaritans came in and caused a lot of false worship and everything among the children of Israel. But we find out historically that the Samaritans didn't even exist until the Assyrian captivity, and they came back into the land, half Assyrian and half Jew. There's when the Samaritans came into existence, not in the day of Moses. But here we have these controversies and things. Where did Muhammad get his information? We have to go back and study the history, the life of Muhammad, but we're studying the pre-life of Muhammad, the history of the world that Muhammad was born into. So we have all this information because Moses is one of the prophets of Islam. Well, Moses brought the children of Israel out, and they were Jacob's children, so-called the 12 tribes. Now, even modern Judaism today, some of them are saying that there was only a small group that went into the land of Egypt, and it was a very small, that a lot of this was a figment of your imagination. The Jewish existence is all based upon the book of Shemot, or the book of Exodus in Greek. Exodus means a way out. And they're saying some of these things because Islam says that the Jews were never in the land, that David and Solomon were figments of imagination. Well, here we have Israel over here later. The Quran quotes and talks about David and talks about Solomon also. They were quite different people than what we see in the Bible. We'll get to that later. We're quoting all of this because we're going to this historical events and the history of the world, the scientific, real history of the world. Many of the unbelievers tried to prove that David didn't exist and Solomon didn't exist. They tried to prove that they were a very small stature and that they were nothing. The legends of them were nothing but legends. They were blown out of proportion. If you ask many modern Muslims over there in Jerusalem, they will say that there never was a temple in Jerusalem at all. There was not a thing at all, that the mosque was there, put there by Muhammad. That was his orders, basically. And you know, it was Solomon the Great and Omar. These people built those later by the orders of Muhammad. There was nothing ever there otherwise. That's what they say. Well, the Jews are trying to prove that they were in the land by erasing the Exodus, which is the Exodus happened. It really happened. Historically, we know that the Exodus happened. The Wi'alei Shemot. Wi'alei Shemot means, and these names, the names of the sons of Israel that left Egypt. It names them and how many and who. And they're trying to erase that. The archaeologists went into the land of Israel and found out here's where Solomon's stables were. Solomon really did exist. David really did exist. And they tried to play it down that they weren't as powerful and big as they were. But history of other nations around them tell these stories, the same stories that the Bible tells. So we come and we have the law of Moses after the Egypt comes back into the land. And then we have the kings of Israel. We have the judges of Israel. These really people existed. The people that they fought with really existed. These are real documented historical events. We come up here to finally the prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. And in those prophets, I've said this before, but I was raised by my stepfather to be an atheist. I made the mistake of studying the Bible and the history of the Bible, and the Bible just absolutely convinced me that there is a God and that his revelations are true. And a revelation is something that comes out of eternity into space and time. And that prophet can predict what's going to happen for thousands of years to come. And the Bible has done that. The prophecy of Noah in the 9th chapter of the book of Genesis, Bereshit, it means in the beginnings. That's what Bereshit means, in beginnings, plural, in beginnings. A lot of beginnings in the book of Genesis, of Bereshit. Tells us there in the 9th chapter, verses 20-something on to the end of the chapter, Noah makes a prediction that the sons of Ham, only the Canaanites, Canaan, will become slaves, the ones who are in the lands of Canaan. They're going to go in there and build up a great land, and they're going to be terrible people, and God's going to send the sons of Israel in there to take the land over and to purify it, because it's God's land. It wasn't their land to begin with. God let them go in there until their sins were filled up to his nostrils, and then he sent them in there. And it took 400 years for them to multiply down in Egypt. This all happened. The names are there. The historical accounts are there in history. They went into the land of Canaan. We have the judges. We have Joshua, and then we have the judges. And then we have the prophets. And the prophets said what would happen. The prophets said that there would be one born of a seed of a woman in Genesis 3:15. Moses said that. It also said Satan would have a child. Flesh. A child. A seed of Satan. It tells us there also that Shem, that Japheth shall dwell in the tents of Shem, that Japheth will take over the administration of God's kingdom when Israel failed. Israel failed. God set Israel aside. Israel was dispersed, Ezekiel 36:16-19. Then we have this great prophet according to Islam. His name was Jesus, or Isa. Now, Isa, according to Muhammad, was virgin born. Why, we do not know. It doesn't tell us. The Bible tells that he's virgin born because he's the seed of the woman, not man. And so the sin nature will not be in Jesus. Now, Muhammad denied the sin nature of mankind, that no man is guilty for any man else's sin. The Bible said that we're all guilty because we're born sinners. We have this Adamic nature in us. Muhammad said, and this is much later, because he's counteracting the Bible. Muhammad said, all men are only guilty for their own sins, what they commit. The law of Moses shows that all men are sinners. Nobody ever kept the law except Jesus. Now, Jesus is born of the seed of the woman, Mary. Mary is her name, Mary. And it names her descendants all the way in the book of Luke, all the way back. And in the book of Matthew, it names Joseph's lineage, except he wasn't really the father, but only the legal father of Jesus, but legally he was supposed to be on the throne of Israel. And in the last meeting we have now, we have Antony and Cleopatra and the Roman Empire coming on the scene. And I have more to say about that, because the Roman Empire changed the whole trade routes. Camels were replaced with ships for a while. Then they took over the trade. And the trade in the Mecca area, all across the Arabian Desert, all the way back in down into Yemen and whatever. It went by sea for a while until pirates became so great and the Roman Empire began to dissolve. And the great navies were disbanded for a while. All of this is historical facts now. Jesus came and he called out a church, his church. He preached among many people. Jesus never did one miracle on his own divine power. All of it was through the power of the Holy Spirit, because he was man and yet God. He said, the Bible says, he emptied himself of his divine powers. And when they accused him of healing people and doing miracles by Beelzebub, he told them that they had sinned, the unpardonable sin. He said, you can say anything you want to about mankind, but when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that's the unforgivable sin, and Israel committed that unforgivable sin right there. And they were dispersed. And the temple was torn down. Anthony and Cleopatra took Joseph's lineage, set it aside, and put Herod's lineage. And Herod was a son of Esau, not Jacob, the wrong line. But Israel accepted him because he built him a real pretty house called the temple. Now here we are now during the church age. And we have the wrong man on the throne of Israel, and the Lord, basically, he was born of the house of Joseph. Legally, he should have been on the throne of Israel. The wrong man was on the throne. Herod the Great was dead. Herod the Great tried to kill him when he was born. And he was supposed to be taken down into Egypt. And he went down into Egypt. Then God called him out of Egypt, told Joseph to take him to Egypt, then told Joseph to bring him back to Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem, the right place. Then he was raised up in Nazareth. He was called out of Egypt, the Bible said he would be. Then he goes back into the land. And this is all before Islam. There is no Islam right now. This is before Islam. This is the world that Muhammad was born into. Now Jesus said, Matthew 16:18, he said, you are Peter, but upon this great foundational rock I'll be building my church, and the gates of hell will not wrestle her down. They cannot wrestle her down. I'll be with her until the end of the church age. And now let's find out what was going on in the world of Muhammad religiously. This is the history of religions too. Go on a little bit further. We won't go much further, but let's go back into the history of religion. We got religion all the way up here. We have all kinds of paganism going on in Arabia. At this time, we have all kinds of paganism going on in the land of Canaan. We have all kinds of paganism going on in Egypt. We have the earth divided now. People are all over the earth. And there's paganism all over. There's always some semblance of truth even in the paganism. Even in the American Indian, they knew who Wakantanka was, the father. They knew who Tonkashila was, the son. They knew who Skontaku, Skonskon was, the Holy Spirit. They didn't have complete and thorough revelation that we have in the Word of God, but they looked for him. They looked for God. They were no atheists. When the Anglo-Saxons hit this land and they brought the Bible with them, they were glad to hear the story of the Bible. But the messengers that brought it were scoundrels and thieves and liars and cheats. And for many years, they wouldn't have anything to do with the Bible because of that very reason. They thought the Bible was invalid because of the messengers that brought the Bible. Should have had some honest messengers. That's what's going on over here in this land. The United or the North American continents are being populated with the largest population in the world at that time. Food was being developed over here before Christ. We have carrots. We have corn. We have peppers. We have tomatoes. We have many things, potatoes, that no place else in the world had these things, and they very became the staff of the world. They were being developed by these Indians over here in the North Meso and South American continent that was divided in the days of Peleg. Now this has happened. This is here. Okay? It's really here. We have Buddha. We have China, a very old civilization. We have all of these civilizations growing all over the world at the time that the church is going out, and the churches went everywhere. And I'm not talking about Catholicism either. We're going to find out when Catholicism been and what kind of world Muhammad was born in religiously. Jesus calls out his church. Right off the bat, in Jesus' own lifetime, we have Judaizers. And after Jesus was crucified, we have Judaizers. People that want to keep the law of Moses and work their way to heaven. They got to keep up the traditions. They got to keep up circumcision. And Paul had to stand against Peter. And then the Apostle John. The Apostle John met a very vicious group of Gnostics that said that Jesus Christ was not the Son of God. That he was immaterial. That just the Spirit came down. And then everyone else was crucified. He didn't die and he wasn't raised again. People, that's the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection is the gospel. And it did away with the gospel. And Jesus inspired his word through John. And John denounced that in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And in the gospel according to John and in the book of Revelation. All of those teach one major message, that Jesus is the eternal God, Jehovah. And that God became flesh in Jesus. And we already have this Gnosticism. Let's go on out a little bit further. Here are the early churches. Finally, around, the churches were really persecuted by the Roman Empire. Later, the Jews persecuted the early church and killed thousands of them. The Apostle Paul was one of their arms of doing that. Apostle Paul was struck down by God, Jesus himself, on the road to Damascus. And he became a Christian instead of a Jew from that point on. He was a Christian. He was a believer. And he fought Judaism in Galatians and Ephesians, Colossians. Colossians is almost a remake. The first chapter of Colossians is almost a remake of the Gospel of John chapter 1 and the book of Revelation chapter 1. It all tells one story. God became flesh. It says NRK, ain ho logos, kai ho logos, ain proston theon, kai ho logos, ain theos in John 1 and 1. It said in the beginning, singular beginning, kept on being the Jehovah, and the Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead because he kept on being God. And then John 1:14 says, Kai ho logos sarx agenito, and the Word, the Jehovah, flesh he became and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten from the side of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:18 says, no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God, the one being in the bosom of the Father. Continuous action, participle, present participle, the one being in the bosom of the Father, that one has led himself out in space and time, and he became flesh. We have all of this. John said this. Paul said it in Colossians. That he holds all things in the world together, Jesus did. Islam says Jesus was born of a virgin. And that he started doing miracles from the time he was an infant. The Bible says that Jesus started doing miracles when he was 30 years old. And Islam has him making clay dolls and things and animals and then making them turn into live animals and all kinds of what we call extra-biblical ideas. By the way, that came from Gnosticism. We come up through here. We find out the infant baptism and is starting to be introduced into churches. Now, the Bible says that believers are to be baptized. Now, in Muslim groups, some of those are baptized. The East Indian groups of Muslims, they're baptized, and then they wear a turban and all the other things. They don't cut their hair. Different things about if you're baptized. into that Muslim group. Baptism was used by the Jews. You were baptized before you were circumcised. A woman was baptized when she got married and died to her old family and raised anew unto her new family. Before they took and sacrificed an animal, it was baptized. They had baptismal fonts all around the land of Israel. Jesus was baptized when he was young, when he was an infant, before he was circumcised, and he was baptized by John the Baptist, his cousin. So baptism is there. It's all about it's not so much clean. The Essenes baptized every day. They were baptized over and over and over and over and over again. The Bible says there's one baptism, one Lord, one faith. We also, around the 3rd century, we have Arius of Alexandria come up in Egypt, Alexandria, Egypt, and he begins to say that Jesus was not the Son of God, but a Son of God, and that he was not divine, that his powers was because he was an angel, and the modern Arius of Alexandria is of the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Herbert Armstrong's group, Carter Ted Armstrong's group. We see that in the world today. And it had a great effect upon Muhammad when he was born. And we still haven't got up to 570 AD. We find that the church and the state are united in one by Constantine, about 300 by 325 AD, all it was done. In the Acts, the Toleration Act, that they will tolerate Christians now, and he had a revelation from God, he said, where he saw a flaming cross in the sky, and he said, by this conquer, and that's how he killed his brother on that bridge, and his brother drowned, and then he took over the Roman Empire. And that his mother was a Christian, and she instituted that she go into the Holy Land, the land of Palestine, and she started marking off these spots where Jesus was born, where he was crucified, and all of that. And that then he married the church and the state, and that affected Muhammad greatly. It affected all of Christendom for over 1,000 years. We have infant baptism established by law in the 500s. We have the first pope, Leo II, officially established in the 500s. We have the church and the state established. In the 600s, right by that time, now we have the church and state, and by the way, the church, the Catholicism, and it was called the Church Catholic, the Church Universal. And now the Church Universal went out, and they would conquer areas, and they would baptize them, they would force them to be baptized. Sometimes they'd march them through rivers and baptize them through the rivers, or else they could die. All of this affected Muhammad when he was born. We find indulgences were established. Indulgences were established, and the worship of Mary in the 500s. Mariolatry was begun. They began to worship Mary. Mary and Jesus. So Mary was a factor that Muhammad knew. And Jesus was a factor that Muhammad knew. All of this was established way before Muhammad was ever born. Mariolatry was not in force. They didn't pray to Mary at this time or anything at that way, but Mariolatry was instituted at that time. And we also have a pope. Now, Islam says they don't have a pope. Yeah, they do. And that pope is Muhammad ex cathedral. What the Pope speaks is just like an apostle of God. And what Ibn Ishaq calls Muhammad is the apostle of God. So we have the apostle of God in Muhammad, and we have the apostle of God already established in Islam. So we have these two things going on. Muhammad hasn't been born yet. But Muhammad's getting ideas. He's borrowing ideas from all of these people when he's born, and he hears it. Now, we're not going to go any further today. That's the end of our lesson for today. We got the church practicing Mariolatry, lifting her up and worshiping her, and that's how Mary and Jesus get into Kaaba later on. All of this has affected Muhammad and Islam from now on, and it will. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, we send these words out so that people can logically, rationally understand religions, the history of religions, and the evolution of religion. And Father, forgive me where I fail you. I pray these words go out. If there's one person, an Islamic person out there, that they have heard enough of God's word, you, your spirit, convicts them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. They are responsible for Adam's sin, but they're also responsible for rejecting Jesus Christ. No man goes to hell because of sin. It's only by rejecting Jesus Christ as our substitute, our atonement, our go-between, our mediator. These things we send out, and for your honor, for your glory.